acabavam.
Ah.
The influence.
Paurusham.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Prabhu.
They have said.
Yes.
Kalam.
Ah.
The time factor. Eke. Sam. Yataha. From which? Bhayam. Fear. Ahankara Vimudashya.
Deluded by false ego.
Kartuhu. Of the individual soul. Prakritim. Material nature. Ihushara. Having contacted. The influence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is felt in the time factor, which causes fear of death due to the false ego of the deluded soul who has contacted material nature. Very powerful verse. All the verses are powerful in Bhagavatam, but this especially we will discuss more in detail. I'll read it again. The influence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is felt in the time factor, which causes fear of death due to the false ego of the deluded soul who has contacted material nature. Repeat after me. The influence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead,
the influence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead
is felt
in the time factor,
which causes fear of death.
Due to the false ego
of the deluded soul
who has contacted
material nature. The living entity's fear of death is due to his false ego of identifying with the body. Everyone is afraid of death. Actually, there is no death for the spirit soul. But due to our absorption in the identification of body as self, the fear of death develops. It is also stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.37, Bhayam Dvitya Vineveshita Sayat. Dvitya refers to matter, which is beyond spirit. Matter is the secondary manifestation of spirit, for matter is produced from spirit. Just as the material elements described are caused by the Supreme Lord or the Supreme Spirit, the body is also a product of the Supreme, of the Spirit Soul. Therefore, the material body is called Dvitiya or the second. One who is absorbed in the second element or second exhibition of the Spirit is afraid of death because of losing that. When one is fully convinced that he is not his body, there is no question of fearing death, since the spirit soul does not die. If the spirit soul engages in the spiritual activity of devotional service, he is completely freed from the platform of birth and death. His next position is complete spiritual freedom from a material body. The fear of death is the action of the kala or the time factor, which represents the influence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, time is destructive. Whatever is created is subject to destruction and dissolution, which is the action of time. Time is a representation of the Lord, and it reminds us also that he must surrender unto the Lord. The Lord speaks to every conditioned soul as time. He says in Bhagavad Gita that if someone surrenders unto him, then there is no longer any problem of birth and death. We should therefore accept the time factor as the Supreme Personality of Godhead standing before us. This is further explained in the following verse, so it will be taken in tomorrow's class, the next verse. But today is a very auspicious day. First of all, it is Ekadashi, last Ekadashi of Chaturmasya. It is the beginning of Bhishma Panchaka, and it is the disappearance day of His Holiness Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. It's a half day fast today. So we will discuss this verse, as well as we will hear something of the pastimes of His Holiness Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, and we will also hear a little bit of the importance of Bhishma Panchaka. So we'll try to cover a bit of ocean today. So we'll see how far we go. Especially there is no breakfast today, so we have got a little bit of time. Om Agnanatimirantashe Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmay Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mahaprasthanam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swarupa Kalamayam Tadati Swaha Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Tapada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sahajatam Sahagaranatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sahitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagalalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Scha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namaskate Tatta Kanchana Gorambe Radhe Vidavane Shari Rishivam Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Vanchakal Kataram Vishu Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare
This is a bit loud.
Translation goes, the influence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is felt in the time factor, which causes fear of death due to the false ego of the deluded soul who has contacted material nature. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 11.32, Kalosmin Lokshaitrit Prabhutto. I am time, destroyer of the world. And we see, we have been studying this section. Which is also known as Sankhya Yoga, where Kapil Muni is explaining how all the elements are coming into place and how everything is coming from where? Mahatattva. Sorry, not everything. The material world is coming from Mahatattva, which is the dormant energy of the Lord. It is not active. And then Lord glances at this Mahatattva and impregnates time factor. So this time factor is the energy of the Lord. It is a glance of the Lord. Because without presence of Lord, nothing can become active. Nothing can operate. Nothing can be maintained. Nothing can come into existence. So this is this glance of the Lord, which is the time factor, which impregnates this Mahatattva, sorry, Pradhan, which forms into Mahatattva, and then all the three modes become active by the association of this time factor. So it is very important to understand this time factor and how it works. It's a glance, it's a direct energy of the Lord Himself. So this energy, first one thing is this energy destroys everything. Whether you are on the Abrahma Bhuvana Loka Punaravartino Arjuna, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, whether you are right from the Brahma's planet, who has got the longest lifespan in this material world, to the smallest insect in the lower species, who has got any fraction of seconds of lifespan, everyone has to take birth again and again. Punaravartino Arjuna. Mama pehle to kaun the hai? Punarjanmana vidyate. Krishna says, once you come back to me, the time factor does not affect you. But if you are, until you are in this material world, wherever you are, right from Brahma to the lower species, the time energy of the Lord, the time factor acts on you. And we see, whether you are a devotee or you are not a devotee, everyone is self-realized of the time factor. If you ask a small kid, please do some devotional service, do some chanting, come to temple, he'll say, no, I don't have time. I don't have time. I want to play. If you ask a teen, like come to temple, do some devotional service, you are youth, you are young, you can do some chanting. And they said, no, I don't have time, I have to study, busy studying, right? And in the youth, busy enjoying, I don't have time. And when one grows, comes into adulthood, he says, I don't have time, I have got work pressure, no time for Krishna consciousness. And once after that work pressure earning, then one becomes old, and you tell them, come to morning program, come for Bhagavatam. Then they say, I have no time, I am busy maintaining my body. I have to look after my body. Morning I cannot wake up early. If I am sitting, I cannot get up. So, you see, people keep on delaying things in material world. They say, these things are to be done in old age. But when old age comes, there is no time. Because one is busy maintaining his own body, and the body does not support you. One of our acharyas mentioned this. I have served this body and the senses so faithfully for the whole life, but still they are not merciful to me. They don't give me a break. So we see a person has no time for the entire life, and when he sees Yamraj, Yamraj won't come, Yamdutas come actually. When he sees Yamdutas, and he pleads, please give me some time. And what do the Yamdutas say? Sorry, you have no time. Whole life you have been saying this, right? No time. And Yamdutas will also tell you the same thing. Sorry, no time now. You have to go. So this is the time factor. Whether you are a devotee or you are not a devotee, everyone has got faith in time. Everyone is self-realized in time. So there was a very prominent personality, Benjamin Franklin, and he was the founder of United States. So he gave some very nice quotes on based on time. He was a very good philosopher. If you study his autobiography, he mentioned that one place when he was at his president position, he was very busy. He was working very hard to get United States, he set up all the policies and procedures, but still people were criticizing him. People were criticizing him that he's not doing enough. And he was thinking, I'm so faithfully serving this country, but people are still criticizing me. So what is this about? So he started writing his diary, that since morning, what is he doing? So he maintained his diary, and then in that diary he was writing every day. And after a week, he saw what activities he had done in the whole week. And then he said, he marked those activities. Like, this is very important. This is not so important. It can be done tomorrow. And this is, it can be avoided. Even if it does not do that activity, it will not make a difference. So he marked all those activities. And then finally he went through those activities, and the things which were most important were very few. And most of the things he was doing was, it can be avoided, or it can, there was no, if he did not do that, it did not make any difference. So that is what time management is. If we maintain, if we look into our lives, if we look into our daily schedule, we can see many activities that we do can be either avoided, can be done tomorrow, or can be, if we don't do those activities, it is okay, it will not make a big difference into our lives or anyone's life. I was in my workplace. There are meetings and all this. And I was speaking to devotees before about this. Like, most of the meetings and projects and all they discuss, they use so much of time. They schedule meetings for months. They plan for a particular project, and then after that, months of planning and designing and meetings and everything, then they come to know there is no budget for this in this year. Finance has not approved the budget. So what happens is, the whole months of work is just gone into rain. Because next time when there is a budget, they again go from scratch. Now how do we tackle this? So really, if you look at, I'm not saying all the meetings and all the projects end up like that, but majority of them, they go like that. Especially I have experience in my at my workplace. So So this Benjamin Franklin, he prioritized, then he changed his way. He only was doing things which were most important or which made a difference. And then people started appreciating him. And also he was utilizing, and he has given some few very nice quotes on time, which will be helpful for us in our devotional life also. He says, you may delay, but time will not. So we can delay things. We can chant, we will chant tomorrow, or we'll start doing this devotional service tomorrow, or we'll do, maybe next year we'll start, or once I get a house I'll do this, or we depend on circumstances, but time will not delay. One thing we have to, anyways, we'll come to that point. We'll come. So next is, early to bed and early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy and wise. So we have heard this statement many times. I was not sure who spoke this, but I got this quote from him. So this is a very nice quote. Early to bed and early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy and wise. So devotees, as devotees we do that. Do you love life? Then do not squander time, for that is the stuff life is made up of. So our whole life is the product of how we utilize our time. If we don't utilize our time wisely, our life will be miserable in the end. But if we utilize our time wisely, then our life is basically how we use our time. So in this world there is nothing certain except for death and taxes. So everyone who is working here, there are two things, many things, but one of the things he is worried about is taxes. How can I save some tax money? So, but Benjamin Franklin makes this point. So, we have to value our time. So, there was another thing I came across when I was searching for time management. And it was mentioned, to realize the value of 1 year, you should ask a student who has failed a year. So he will know how much it would be to value a year. So if you, to realize the value of a month, you should ask a mother who has given birth to a premature baby. It's very painful. To realize the value of a week, you should ask an editor of a weekly newspaper. He will know how much pressure there is to put in all those things for a weekly newspaper to be published. To realize the value of a day, you should ask the daily wage laborer who cannot work for some health reasons for a day. To realize the value of a minute, you should ask a person who has just missed his flight. To realize the value of a second, you should ask a person who survived an accident. Recently, a few days ago, one of the devotees had an accident with his car. And it might have been a fraction of a second before or after, could have hurt himself. Luckily nothing happened, only the car was damaged. But to realize the value of a second, you should ask that person who has survived an accident. To realize the value of 1 millisecond, you should ask a person who has won silver in the Olympics. By milliseconds they get defeated. To realize the value of 1 nanosecond, you should ask the hardware engineer who is trying to build a computer. Because in computers, 1 nanosecond difference in synchronization of data can ultimately cause a big issue. So you should ask hardware engineer. And if you still don't realize the value of time, you must be a government employee. So very nice quotes on time management. So, but if one wants to forget Krishna, Krishna facilitates that. Krishna, Krishna mentions, but the influence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is felt in the time factor, which causes fear of death due to false ego of the deluded soul. So, how does one become deluded? Krishna says, sarvasa chaham radhasani vishtam matas smritir gnanam aponam cha, that I am sitting in each and everyone's heart and from me comes matas smritir gnanam, remembrance, intelligence, remembrance and forgetfulness. So even to forget, we need the mercy of Krishna. At the same time, how does one become deluded? Krishna again mentions in Bhagavad Gita in 2.62, second chapter, Dhyayato Vishayan Pumsam, Sangaste Supajayate, Sangat Sanjayate Kaman, Kamat Krodha Vijayate, and Krodha Bhavanti Sammoha, Sammohat Smriti Brahma, Vibrahma, Smriti Brahmasat Buddhinasa, Buddhinasat Pranashati. He said, while contemplating on the object of the senses, a person develops attachment to it. And from attachment, lust arises. And from lust, anger arises. But and from anger comes delusion. And when one is deluded, bewilderment of memory happens. And when memory is bewildered, intelligence is lost. And when intelligence is lost, one falls down into this material world. So this delusion comes from associating with the sense objects. Sangat sangayate kama dhyayato vishayan pumsan. So if one is always contemplating on the sense objects, then one will eventually be deluded, his memory will be bewildered, his intelligence will be lost, he will get into the clutches of maya. So we have to understand, how can we get out of it? Again, coming back to this verse, fear of death due to false ego of the deluded soul. So that delusion comes from avidya, right? And Bhagavatam gives very nice analysis of what are the types of knowledge one can acquire. The first is jadagnan. Jadagnan means material knowledge. Most of us have got good understanding of material knowledge. It's like trying to understand what really darkness is, trying to see darkness, which is not possible. So that is material, jagagnan. And it is not really a knowledge. It is, as I explained, it is trying to see darkness. Then the, above that is atmagnan. Atmagnan is understanding the difference between body and soul. It is the beginning of spiritual life, or it is the beginning of transcendental knowledge, where one tries to understand that I am not the body. There has to be something different than what I am. So that's Atmagnan. And then above that is Nirbheda Brahmagnan, where one is trying to understand that we are spirit. So one begins with, I am part of spirit, I am not this body. So that is Aham Brahmasmi. So one begins to enter into the spiritual life. And then there is, when one advances in that Atma, Nirbheda, Brahmagnan, one comes to Ishvara, Aishwaragnan, where one understands that there is someone superior. Lord is superior to me, and He is the controller. So that is the Ishvara, Aishwaragnan. So somebody is there, supreme personality is there, and He is superior to me. But above that, or the topmost, which devotees seek for, is Madhurya Gnan, where pure love is found in the residence of Vrindavan. So that is Madhurya Gnan. So one goes through this different stages of knowledge as one progresses into the spiritual life. But we see most of, as it is mentioned here also, most of the people are afraid of one thing, which is death. There is a nice story one of the Srila Prabhupada's disciple told. So when he was in college, when he was in university, he was not a devotee at that time. So he was going to these parties, and one day, but he was somewhat dissatisfied. He could sense like this, all these material things are not giving him any happiness. So he was reading some books on spirituality and mind and all those things. So he was contemplating on those higher knowledge. And then once he was in a party where all the boys and girls were dancing and drinking, and he was not feeling any connection with those things. So he was sitting in one of the corners and thinking about what is this all about? Why am I not feeling happiness even in this atmosphere? And then one of the girls came and sat next to him and started talking about, obviously girls talks, and girls and boys talk usually. So, and then he was just listening. And then this girl asked him, you don't have anything to say. And this boy told him, have you ever thought of death? And this girl was looking freaked out. She said, you can't talk about death in this party. You'll spoil the whole mood. So she just got up and walked away. And this is what we see, like when we are trying to enjoy, we completely ignore this fact that we all are going to die. Because if you know the truths of life, then you cannot enjoy material life. Srila Rupa Goswami tells in Nectar of Devotion, if you want to enjoy, don't go to Vrindavan. And if you go to Vrindavan, don't go to the banks of Yamuna. And if you go to banks of Yamuna, don't go to Keshighat. And if you go to Keshighat, don't look at that black boy who is playing his flute. Because if you hear his flute and see him, your material life will be destroyed. So if you want to enjoy your material life, don't do these things. And Srila Rupa Goswami warns us in Nectar of Devotion. It's a critic, but a very important point. So actually, there is no death for the spiritual. Prabhupada mentions this point in his purport. Actually, there is no death for a spirit soul. Material body dies every moment. We all have experienced death. How many times? How many times have we experienced death? Sorry? Every moment, yes. So we have experienced, but we have not realized. How is it possible that we were 200 grams or 400 grams or 800 grams or 1.5 kg and we are now 80 kg? Things have expanded, right? And we have changed. A lot of our body has changed from 2 years, 5 years. Especially when a small child is born, you can see the face of the child changing every day. You can, when the child is born, in the first few months, his face features change drastically. If you've just seen a child who was just born, and if you see him after 5 days, you cannot even recognize, is it the same child? Because he changes drastically. And that change keeps on happening throughout our life. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Dehinosmin yathadehe kaumaram yavanam jara tatha dehantara prati dhirastatrana muyati. We have heard this verse so many times, but we still don't understand. I'm sorry, I'm not talking about all of you, but when I say we, it's me. We still don't realize this fact that time is changing. Time is changing us so swiftly and quickly that we can see the change. When you see a person after a long time, you can see how he has changed so much. But actually, we have also changed. But we only realize when we see someone else after a long time that, oh, he looks so different now to what he was before. On Facebook, sometimes I see my friends, school friends, and I think, oh, look at the difference in him. But when I look into the mirror, I don't feel that, because I'm so much connected, attached to my body, that I don't see that I'm also changing, I'm also going towards death. So nobody wants to accept that fact that I'm going to die. That is one of the questions by Yakshas to Yudhishthira Maharaj. What is the most wonderful thing in this material world? And Yudhishthira Maharaj replies, like everyone is around you is dying. Everyone is dying. All our relatives, friends, all the other people are dying. But still a person thinks, I'm not going to die. This is not going to happen to me. So we are still trying to get PR in this body. Application one day. We are keeping on applying for PR for this body, but there is no... because we are changing. So if you want to apply for a PR or a citizenship, you need to have a resident place, right? You can't just move around and say, I want a residence in this place where you are moving in a bus, right, or a car or a flight. So we cannot have residence. So what body are you trying to get residence in? Because it is going to change in couple of days anyways. So the body which you are trying to apply PR for is already gone. Time changes, forces us. There is a nice verse in Bhagavatam where one is forced to enter into the body. And you remember? Karmana daiva netrena jantur deho bhadaya. By our karma and by the devi netrena, by the material nature, we are forced. Jantur deho pata hai. Every living entity is forced into the body, particular body, and not only into a particular body, but every living entity is forced. We cannot stop getting old, right from the baby. How old is the baby? 5 days, 10 days, right? Even a 5 days baby, we call him old. He's old right from the birth. 10 days old, 10 years old, 100 years old. So whether you are a 5 day or 50 day or 50 years, you are old. So we cannot stop. That influence of time is so great that one keeps the time keeps moving that person into the death. So this time factor is like the energy of the Lord, and the example given is of a cat carrying a kitten and cat carrying a mouse in the jaws. For it's the same jaws, but when cat is carrying a mouse, what is the bhava of mouse?
Fear of death.
Right? He's feeling terrified. He's feeling that he can see that personification. Whereas the kitten feels sheltered, secure in the mouth of a cat. So that's the difference. So the time factor or the Kala Shakti of the Lord, a devotee sees as blessing, because he is utilizing his time wisely. He is utilizing his every moment in service of the Lord. Whereas a non-devotee, when he sees death, experiences Kala Shakti as death, he is bewildered. He is, as in this verse it is mentioned, he is completely deluded and he is terrified when he sees death. So this is the potency of death. So we see in Bhagavatam there are personalities mentioned like Narad Muni. What happened to Narad Muni at the time of death? There was just a spark and he entered into the spiritual body. So there wasn't any pain or anything. He was meditating on the Lord and then there was a spark and he entered. It is mentioned Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj, when he was about to leave his body, when Dhruva Maharaj was meditating and he saw the aeroplane coming from Vaikuntha with Vishnu Dutas on it, and they asked him to board the plane, and at the same time he saw death personified coming. So Dhruva Maharaj stepped on the head of death personified and got onto the plane. So it is mentioned devotees are not even worried about death. They don't even experience death. So there are different examples mentioned. Maharaj Chitraketu is mentioned. It is mentioned Maharaj Chitraketu just left the body and straight away went into the spiritual world. So all these examples are for us to see how a devotee is completely, it's like a kitten in the mouth of the cat, in the jaws of the cat. They're completely not worried about death or kala. Even though a devotee gets old, the only thing that happens to a devotee is he becomes realized more and more. He does not become deluded like the people. Recently in our company, they called everyone into a room and then they told them, we are thinking of cutting down staff. So it looks like in 2 months, you all will lose your job. So everyone was like terrified. And some people, they just picked up their bag and walked out of the office, because they are so much committed in different ways, and they are so much dependent. And one of the person just got up and started swearing at the manager, saying, "How can you do that? We are working on so important project at the moment, and this is the most important project." So people are bewildered, deluded. They are thinking whatever they are doing is the most important thing, and it's going to change the world. Otherwise, the world is going to break down. It is going to cause havoc. So people just become terrified when they hear something like that. So imagine just losing a job makes them so terrified. I was just thinking, if they have to face death, where they have worked whole life for this body, and Yamduta said, "Now leave this. You have to leave this body. Forget about job." he will be terrified. He would not even be able to understand, because there is no 2 months levy there. You don't get 2 months to decide now what body you want to go on to, or you've got this much time from now. Immediate. You've lost your time. Only fortunate people like Maharaj Kulasekara, they get notification, or Maharaj Parikshit, we know, they got notification of 7 days. But most of us will not be fortunate, or most of these people, or most of the populace, right? They will not be so fortunate to get so much of time that they can plan their death. But these people get terrified. So I'll stop there, and we'll quickly discuss something about Gaur Kishor Das Babaji Maharaj. Gaur Kishor Das Babaji ki. So there is one prayer written in Chaitanya Chandra Daka Natya, which glorifies Gaur Kishor Das Babaji as well. So I'll read that. Niskinchasya Bhagavan Bhajanon Mukhasya Paramparam Jigmishor Bhava Sagarasya Sandrashanam Vishayinam Atha Yostamta Yotsamcha Hahanta Hanta Vish Bakasanto Api Asada Asadu. For one who really wants to cross the material ocean and who wants to engage in this transcendental loving service of the Lord, without any connection with anything material, seeing a materialist engaged in sense gratification and seeing a woman who is similarly interested is more abominable than drinking poison willingly. And this was the mood of Gaur Kishor Das Babaji Maharaj. So Gaur Kishor Das Babaji Maharaj, he was a grihastha in his early age, but it is mentioned after his wife passed away in his youth, he completely detached from the material duties, and he was completely engaged in bhajan. And he went to Vrindavan and he lived there for 30 years, it is mentioned, and most of the time he spent in Varshana. And he was so much detached from material energy that he used to just beg. And he never used to go to the houses of materialists. He only used to beg from 7 houses, which were of the pious people or sadhus. And he used to beg just some rice, some raw rice. And he used to put those rice into the water of Ganges or Yamuna and then let them become soft, and used to mix some salt and pepper and then eat them like that. And that is how he was maintaining his body. And even the clothes that he used to wear, he used to go to the smasan ghat or its crematorium, and whatever the clothes were available of the dead bodies, whatever the discarded clothes were there of the dead bodies, he used to pick those clothes, tear them and make one kofin out of it and some gamcha. And he used to just live off that. So he was completely, we can see, he was living a very simple, austere and completely detached life. So, Gaur Kishor Das Babaji Maharaj, in his grihastha life, was doing a simple job of farming. He was a farmer and he was growing some corn. But when, after he left that, as I mentioned, sorry, I'm repeating this, he went to Vrindavan and got initiated by Bhagavad Das Babaji Maharaj, who was the disciple of Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. And he practiced, he used to walk around. It is mentioned in Vrindavan, he never used to stay at the same place or never used to spend night under the same tree. He used to continuously do Raj Parikrama. And many times he used to spend time in Varshana, and he used to make some garlands for Radha and Krishna there, and he used to sing this prayer, Kotha go prema mai radhe radhe, radhe radhe go go jai radhe radhe, dekha diya pran rakho radhe radhe, tomar kangal tomai dakhe radhe radhe, radhe vrinda van vilasini radhe radhe, radhe kanu mano mahoini mohini radhe radhe, radhe asta sakhir shiromani radhe radhe, radhe vrishabhanu nandini radhe radhe. So he used to glorify Srimati Radharani by these prayers. He used to continuously sing these prayers and make garlands for Srimati Radharani. And so this is how he used to spend his time in Vrindavan for 30 years. And then he got a dream once to go to Navadvip. And so he moved, he came to Navadvip, and then he used to associate with Bhaktivinod Thakur. He used to every evening go and hear Srimad Bhagavatam from him, but he still used to remain detached. It is mentioned he never accepted any disciple, but on the plea of Bhaktivinod Thakur, and when he saw that Bhaktivinod Thakur's son Bimal Prasad, who was very sincere and serious about devotional life, then he accepted him as his disciple. But he never used to associate with any of the materialists. That was, and second point was, he never used to take any service from anyone. So this was a very two important point that he exhibited. Once his one of his associates, he went and took some prasad from one of the festivals, and then Gaurakrishna Babaji Maharaj did not speak to him for 3 days. And on the fourth day, he said, because you have accepted prasad from a materialist and woman, your devotional service, your bhajan will be destroyed. So he was very particular of what to eat and from whom you accept prasadam. As we, as I already mentioned, he only used to eat rice soaked in river Ganges or Yamuna. And then he was very living a simple life. So his main, he used to sing this, if one is attached to bhojan, then his bhajan will be destroyed. And so one should not be eating very palatable foods, especially which are cooked by a non-devotee. So otherwise his bhajan will be destroyed. So this was one of the principles he followed. Once a king asked him to come and meet him, but Gaurakrishnadas Babaji said, no, he is not interested in meeting any of the king. If the king wants, he can leave all the palace and his opulence and he can stay with me. We both will discuss Krishna Katha. So then the king never came. So that way he was very, as a sadhu is cutting, he was very cutting to the materialist. When materialists used to come to him, he never used to entertain them, like many sadhus do for some remuneration or anything, but he was completely detached. It is mentioned he used to stay in toilet and do his bhajan, and there were some devotees who told them, or some grahasthas told them, we can build you a hut or a kutir for you to do your bhajan. But he said, no, I'm not interested in any of that, because if I have a kutir, then people will come and meet me. Whereas here, the smell of the stool is better than meeting the materialist. So that's what his mood was. Also once a doctor from Calcutta asked him that I want to start a free dispensary for devotees here or people of Navadvip. And then he told, don't waste your time. Rather than looking after that body, you just preach the holy names of the Lord. Do Naam Kirtan. Otherwise, you are just wasting your time. So this is the mood of Gaurakrishnadas Babaji Maharaj. He understood completely. There is no point looking after the body. One should just look after his spiritual needs. So I'll stop here for the glorification of Gaurakrishnadas Babaji Maharaj. Gaurakrishnadas Babaji Maharaj ki. And we quickly do a 2 minutes importance of Bhishma Panchaka. So of the whole year, the most auspicious period is this 4 months of Chaturmasya. And in this 4 months of Chaturmasya, the most important period is Kartik month. And of this Kartik month, why is Kartik month very dear? Because it's obviously dear to Radha and Krishna, but for devotees, it is an opportunity. They do vrata to please the Lord. They do some austerity. And also, in this Kartik month, the last 5 days, which starts from Ekadashi to Purnima, these are the most auspicious. And devotees in this last 5 days intensify their devotional service.
Bhishma Panchaka.
Bhishma Panchaka is mentioned. So this so it starts from today, and it goes for next 5 days. those who are doing, it is mentioned, Krishna gave this to Bhishma Dev, told him to fast on this 5 days, and for preparing for his death, he fasted on this 5 days. He meditated, he was completely meditating on the Lord. So this, before it was known as Vishnu Panchaka, and then when it was done by Bhishma Panchaka, Bhishma Dev, it was named as Bhishma Panchaka because it is very powerful. Krishna himself gave this to Bhishma Dev. And it is mentioned in this vrat, one should fast from, one should only have water. One should not eat anything. Especially in the whole Kartik month, one should try to avoid grains. But in this last 5 days, one should just fast on water. Like, he should just be drinking water. If one cannot do that, then one should have water and milk. But if one cannot do that, then one can have some fruits and vegetables and milk and water. But definitely one should try to avoid grains in this last 5 days, because it's the most auspicious time of Kartik. So, I'll read something from Mathura Mahatmya, just one verse which Srila Rupa Goswami, gives. Durlabha Bhakti Yoga Me Mama Vashya Vidayaka Kartike Mathuryamcha Vartanane Labte Sarva Bhishta Pradam Proktam Mathura Bhishma Panchakam. Pure devotional service to me, which, because it places me under my devotee's denomination, is very difficult to attain. Is easily attained by following this vow in Mathura Mandala during Kartik. Following the vow of Bhishma Panchaka in Mathura is said to fulfill all desires. This includes the desires to attain one's eternal ragamaya, spontaneous, intimate, loving service with loving relationship with Radha and Shyam in the Mathura realm of Raja, if one does the vrat with appropriate lobha. So if one does this vrata, the Bhishma Panchaka vrata, it is so potent that it can give you raga bhakti, which is the topmost bhakti that a devotee aspires for. But what is the key to it? One has to do it with lobha. Lobha means eagerness, greed. Not with, oh, I have to fast today, let me sleep for 20 hours or something. Oh no, I have to fast. And sometimes people fast and they are completely like old men. They cannot even stand up. They are craving. And they are looking at, after 5 days I'll eat this thing. No, one has to have intense lobha for devotional service. One has to have intense lobha, and one can easily get, it is mentioned here, it is not even available to the demigods. So we are fortunate that we have got this opportunity. So we should all do some kind of austerity in this last 5 days, and with intense lobha, some greed to attain Krishna. I'll stop here if anybody has got any questions or comments.
One comment.
Yes, Prabhu.
Yevatika Swami told us about this vrat, very important what he said. 2007 we were in Vrindavan, and my wife was getting out of accident. One day, a rickshaw fell on her, but she saved, no fracture, anything. So, Yevatika Swami was there during that time in Vrindavan. So, I told him this story, what happened. So, he said, alright, come to Mayapur, and do this Bhishma Panchaka fast. We didn't know anything. So he arranged our transit and stay where you are going to stay and all that. It was so interesting. I thought I cannot live without grain for 5 days. But when we went there with devotees, you can do anything. So it was so easy to do the fast. And then on the 15th, we had a very big feast. We forgot all about the 5 days fast.
And it is also mentioned after the 5th day, whatever you have fasted with, you can feast on that. So devotees who are fasting for Kartik on sweets, or especially on last 5 days, if they are fasting completely on the 6th day, they can break their fast with whatever they want to eat. So obviously that is not a carrot for us, but but it is mentioned, like, one can feast on that thing. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yes, Prabhu. When all the opportunities closes, there was a, I forgot the name of a devotee, where he writes in the old, he was in South India, and he writes to Rupa Goswami, he writes to Rupa Goswami that I have a desire, I've read your description of Nectar of Devotion, and I have a desire to associate with you. And the letter went to Vrindavan. In those days, it was, so you give it to someone who is going towards there, and you will give it to someone, and there was no postal system. So he gave that letter, and it reached Rupa Goswami, and then Rupa Goswami wrote two words, come immediately. And then that letter again came to him. At that time, he had gone for his morning toilet. Toilets were not in house. The good part of the things like the altar and deities were in houses, and the bad part was outside in the countryside, I mean out of the village. Whereas these days it's the opposite way. The toilets are inside the house and deities are outside in the temple. They don't have deities at home. But in those days the toilets were outside near the well where they used to go outside on the outskirts of the village. So he had gone for that, and he was brushing his teeth at the well, and he got that letter by someone who was traveling by. And it was mentioned, Rupa Goswami had said, come immediately. He immediately, without going home, just took another bus and transport and just went. So that should be the mood of a devotee, as Prabhu mentioned rightly. If all the roads are closed, one should go to Vrindavan, what was it? Vrindavan, Varshana, and Vrindavan, Mathura, and Varshana. But we should not wait for all the roads to close.
There's all other roads of the life automatically open after.
Okay. So we should not wait for that. We should try to take this opportunity. If we get an opportunity to go to Vrindavan, we should take that opportunity immediately. Very nice pastime. So this devotee immediately went without even completing his morning duties. And so this is the eagerness one has to have for, or attachment one has to have for Vrindavan or Mathura. One point on that one, once a devotee asked Niranjan Maharaj, like, these are the anarthas, I'm not able to give up, should I pray to Krishna to make me detach from it? And Niranjan Maharaj said, yes, you can pray to Krishna, but better try to give it up yourself, because the way Krishna might give, detach you, you might not like it. So better you yourself try to give up that anartha. But you can pray to Krishna to help you give up that anartha. But do it yourself, it is better. So I'll stop here. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.